you well know, but he says he's feeling better, so we thank God that he's here with us.
Welcome back.
I am very happy to be here. There's no electricity at my house. Well, I've left my wife and two of my oldest granddaughters at the house, and they're suffering, and I found a cool place. And I wanted to petition the council and see when we would have it back on.
Probably another 2 to 3 hours.
Thank you, Chief.
I got that
recording.
I'll send that to
you. And we appreciate the opportunity to be here, and I'll lead us in prayer if you like. Are you all ready to get started? Heavenly Father, we just love you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for our city council, our leaders. We thank you for our town. We love our city, and we want your blessing upon it. We ask you to be with the council tonight as they meet and conduct the business, and we pray you'll give them wisdom and guidance. May they look to you for everything that they need, all the wisdom and guidance. And we just pray that you'll bless our town. You know the needs that we have. And we just pray that you would begin to do some mighty things among us and get our town back on its feet. And Lord, we just love you and thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm going to hang around until my wife says it's back on.
Okay, I'm calling the meeting to order. Roll call.
Rogers
here.
Walton
here.
Wayne. Greenberry
here.
Gribble
here.
Meredith
here.
Motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion to approve the reports and bills.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Presentation of petition letters or other communications. Does anyone have anything? Is there any unfinished business? Okay. Reports. Police, Tony is not going to be here. He is out on South Ward patrolling because of the light outage, the power outage. It seems the tree hit the power out there. And so I don't know how many homes are without power right now, but there are a lot. So he's out there patrolling. Fire department. Johnny's not here. Shall we just put you later for when he comes, or you want to do it?
All right, we'll do it.
Okay.
Fire calls from July the 5th through July the 16th. On the 5th, we went to 701 Beckwith for a structure fire, which was the case of arson. One female was arrested for first-degree arson, incarcerated in Penobscot County Jail, along with other charges. I'd like to thank the police department, Jerry Hudgens, and those that helped assist the fire marshal in the investigation and made an arrest on that. On the 5th, we went to 809 East 18th Street for a gas meter struck while the grass was being mowed. Then on the 7th, a mutual aid request by the Hayti Fire Department for a structure fire in the Hayti Heights. On the 8th, I-55 at the 14-mile marker northbound for extrication where an RV rolled over. There was a 66-year-old lady driving and an 82-year-old gentleman that had to be airlifted to the bed. On the 8th, also 1217 Laurent, there was a trash fire, and the subject was issued a ticket for open burning by CPD. On the 10th, 14th and Ward, there was a dumpster on fire in the alley just north of Swindles. On the 11th, Route Double D South of 553, there was an 18-wheeler on fire, which was a total loss. And yesterday evening, on the 15th, went to 2906 Willow for a smoke scare on the cook stove. Fire inspections were conducted at Lady Luck Casino on July the 9th. That's all I have to report.
Thank you. Carrie?
The only thing I have to report is we've been working, picking up the tree debris, trying to deal with the heat. Tractor that runs the bush hog, it appears that the PTO clutch is out on it, it's over at the John Deere store. They're trying to find out what's wrong with it now. As soon as we hit grass with it, it just puts cuts, puts turns. And that's all I have.
Okay. Code enforcement?
had some boys that sent ten letters out. Currently working on multiple properties, the follow-up multiple properties with the contractors that we hired to clean off the property that the city was not able to do. The last 2 weeks, I had went to over 20 residents, 28 houses to be exact. I got 18 here, so let them know about the dumping site. I don't know why there's a large population within Caruthersville who are not aware of the dumping ground here on 3rd Street. So rather than sending letters to the residents or the properties that have the trash on the side, I'm sure we're going to do anything, to have the trash on the side, it's making a business to do a lot of footwork and go let them know verbally. And so I have written down the addresses and I am keeping notes, so if it's not abated within the next week, they will be getting letters. But I did make it my business to go personally inform these residents. And the number of people who do not know is much larger than what I thought. That's all. And along with some other stuff.
I know we've been furthest and furthest and furthest. And this has nothing to do with you, Sean, because this has been something I've asked way before you were ever on board. I had a heated conversation with somebody just yesterday, and it was all over code enforcement. How many of these situations actually get to court? And if they do get to court, what happens at that point?
I haven't seen too many come through court recently, but we do have some that come through. But there haven't been many recently, have there, Sonya?
We given one citation last week. Tony's not here. I don't know the process for that. And there are two other ones
So when they get a citation, okay, so you go, you visit them, you send them a letter, mm-hmm. and then they have so much time to abate the nuisance. If they don't, then they get a citation?
I work with them. It depends on the size of the nuisance, and I try to give them time, give them letters. And some of them do abate it, and then turn right back around.
Well, just like grass, they can abate it.
Yeah.
You know, a month later, you're going to be dealing with the same problem. So,
repeated letters. On some properties, like I said, I gave a citation. I don't want to call that addresses.
No, I don't want to.
And there are a couple more who are going to get complaints. It just depends on every circumstance is different. I don't have like a one for all.
Right.
Every circumstance is different. You know, it just depends on.
If they don't abate it and they get a citation and then they still don't do whatever they're supposed to do within the time frame, is that when it goes to court?
That's when it should come to me for prosecution. And okay. Then code enforcement officers should work with the police department to provide a probable cause statement to me that details what notices have gone out, what condition of the property is. Then I would file the information with the court to initiate the municipal court action. And, you know, it takes a little time to go through that court action, not terribly, but they'll have an initial appearance at which they'll enter a plea of guilty or not guilty. If they plead not guilty, then we'll set a trial date, and then they'll come in for a trial usually we set that at the next court date. So, you know, you might look at a month before you actually get a judgment on those after the information. I think as soon as they're not in compliance or not complying, unless there's some mitigating circumstance that would lead to granting additional time, I think they ought to come to legal prosecution just pretty quickly.
So you can only impose a fine after they've gone through the court process, right?
That's right, yeah. The fine is just after the court process. And then, for litter and things like that, their own property, you can actually even bypass the notice provisions. There's a separate section in the code that actually provides that if a person does not maintain their property and without a letter on the property, then they can be cited just initially for the violation there. We were talking about weeds, grass, those things. That requires a prior notice before you send out.
Well, one of the properties I was asked about yesterday, we talked about scores over here on Highland.
Yeah, and they got assigned another ticket, and he just paid it. And so Lawrence said we could just keep giving him the ticket
until he gets it.
Yeah, each day, the code provides each day.
Did he get a ticket because that situation didn't have to go forward, is that?
Well, once I give a complaint to the police department, they give that resident a citation.
Does that involve a ticket?
Yeah, and it's $130 total fee. If you get a citation, it's $130 fee. And if they pay it right off, they don't have to go to court, from what I understand. But if they go to court, and by the time court date appears from the past, if most of it has been abated or if it has been abated, Lawrence can minimize the ticket, or he can do it full.
Yeah, I have been doing that much lately. I mean, if it has to go to that proceeding, then I'm pretty much been sticking with the
But yeah, the one on Highland and a couple others, he given a complaint to the police department last week to get a ticket.
And what she's saying, there is one step. She asked me the question whether it's a fine before it has to go through the final. There is a provision in our rules for a violation bureau, and they can make those payments of the total fines and court costs prior to going to court through the violations bureau.
It's just I don't know that we'll ever solve the problem with code enforcement, but it's not a fun conversation to have with people, and it's just I just wish they some people I just wish had more pride in their property, those that have the ability and the means of cleaning up their property. Yep. Then I know, and I have a heart for the people that just, elderly and people that don't have the means to clean up. I don't know what the answer to that is, but I do know you drive through our town, it's very disheartening. Very disheartening. And I mean, it's nothing any of us have done or created, and I know we all wish the same thing that our town didn't look the way it looks, but I don't know the answer to it. But I do know, I was asked by somebody yesterday, like I said, that a family member, we had a heated conversation, and I just said, short of us going in and mowing everybody's yard and cleaning up everybody's property, and I said, that's not possible. Do you want us to use your taxpayer money to do that? I mean, I don't know what the answer is. It's not going to be an overnight answer.
And the court process doesn't work very well for people who are not local. Or
they don't pay their fines. I mean, it's a bad situation.
We can bring them to court and we can issue summons.
There are a lot of properties. I'm sorry.
Yeah, if you're never here, then it's just.
And there are several properties that I have to work with contractors to get that. Mm-hmm. And there are several other properties that the city abates. And so it's an ongoing thing. And like you say, we abate the nuisance, especially in the vegetation, the grass area, then next month it's the same thing.
This is a good report, and if you would, and I don't want you to get bogged down on paperwork because I keep them going out. But if you could just kind of keep us updated, if I got a citation or if it went to court, or at least if somebody asks us about a property, we can refer to this and say, they've gotten a letter, and it's at this point, or whatever. So thank you. I think this helps a lot.
Well, by the way, when you say anything, it's her birthday today. So.
City can go in and clean the property up, charge it as a tax against the property, or they can file a action against the owner in municipal court and have fines associated with those. The second option is the municipal court fines, either through the litter on the property or through failure to abate the nuisance. The third option is it's a, and we've done this on several occasions, is where you really use those same proceedings, but the property owner agrees or consents to the entry of an order to abate the nuisance. They consent to the city abating the nuisance, and then you charge the tax lien against the property. So you get to the same point as you would in option one, except that you do it all by consent. You don't have to have the various hearings that are required or the potential for an appeal of those orders through other proceedings. So that's the third option. The fourth option is something that's happened in the past and we've done in the past, where the city takes ownership of a property through a donation and then cleans the property up and resells it at the end of the process. On the McCoy property, I really don't recommend that based on the environmental issues that may be present there, unless we utilize a separate entity to acquire the property and work through the Department of Natural Resources Voluntary Cleanup Program and the Department of Economic Development's Brownfields Program. The issue that we get into there is that the development of the program has to result in the creation of at least 10 new jobs within the community at the end of the redevelopment. So it's kind of, those programs are kind of designed for a project that's going to result in a business rather than just a clean parcel of land.
The jobs have to be sustaining, not just temporary.
That's right. They have to be sustaining jobs. And it's either 10 new jobs or retaining 15 existing jobs. So, we're really not, I don't think we're in that position on this particular project. But I've spoken with I spoke with Ben McCoy about this. And he wasn't exactly sure what the outcome as far as ownership of that particular land is. He thinks that it's in the four children's names individually rather than in the trust. I've asked Jim Durain to give a title search done to the property and see if we can determine what the ownership of the property is. And what I would like to do is maybe supplement the report to you at one of the future meetings and kind of tell you what my recommendation, because I think it depends on It depends on a lot of factors that I don't know yet as to what my recommendation is, which route we're going to try to take to get that cleaned up.
Thank you.
Good.
No, I was just going to say thank you.
Yeah.
That's more than we've heard a long time.
That's right.
Yeah, great.
Okay.
The rest of the only thing I have is a committee meeting earlier. What we're waiting on the industrial tower is John was off last week on the case, so he should be back this week, next Monday. Try to get with him and see if we can figure out the process that he wants to go through backwash without that tower. And if we do that and it works, then we'll call utility services and have them come in and start working on the tower.
And for those who don't know, Paul had surgery. He's back with us today. We're thankful. And he's doing pretty good. Yeah. Mark, Rick.
The swim meet last Saturday was a success. A lot of fun was had. Fortunately, the Roseville team didn't win. Kent team won again. But we got a fart board meeting this Wednesday at 6 o'clock. It was postponed from last Wednesday. Finance meeting. We're going to start Pee Wee and Flag football sign up soon. So look for the list to the radio. We'll have signs out front and try to get a text message sent out through either the schools or kind of on the baseball deal that went out. That's all I got.
Grace and Aubrey.
For those of you that have ever tried to check out ebooks from our library, know it can be a frustrating experience if you don't go to the Available Now tab. You can get on a long waiting list for your ebooks, but we have now become an Overdrive Advantage library, which means on the 10th of every month, anybody who's got a hold on an ebook or an e-audio will zoom up to number one, and you will get your home at that point, once a month, every month. So that will make the frustration a little less. Also, our summer reading program is coming to a close. We're in our final programming week this week, and we'll be wrapping it up and giving some awards out and having another ice cream party and probably some karaoke and a dance party next week.
Thank you, Teresa. JJ, you want to say anything?
No, we met last Wednesday and went through probably about half the budget. And as soon as we get the June financials from Doug, I told the mayor we can sit down with the department heads and try to finish the budget and have something ready to present, hopefully, in the near future.
Josh, you got anything on insurance?
A little insurance.
Okay. We have our economic committee chair here tonight. She's going to talk to you a little bit about what's going on with this water.
Okay, since July 2nd, to the council meeting, the State of Missouri Economic Development Director Rob Dixon and Marty Letters, who he is the department's workforce director, and Representative Don Roan held a meeting at the Delta Center on July the 5th, and the mayor and Councilwoman Bullington and Vaughn, who also serves on this Economic Advisory Committee, and I went, and just to really start in and start meeting people and trading cards and start that networking process. And then also, Mississippi River Cities and Towns Initiative Annual Meeting in Davenport, Iowa, I registered the mayor and myself, and that will be September 18th through the 20th. Once again, and I always keep saying this, I am a volunteer, so I'm paying my own way. The city is not doing that. I'm doing myself. Our economic development planning team met Tuesday, July the 10th. The consensus with that group, which is the advisory and the planning team together, they consensus was to keep working on the essential water and sewer project, and the economic development planning team will meet quarterly in the next meeting, October the 9th at 5:30. Just giving you a little update on what we discussed at both meetings, the Essential Water and Sewer Project campaign. We get everything rolling with the Scott Press, KCRV, Channel 7, and the Postal Service for bulk mailing. It's been a pleasure working with all those people. They have been so helpful in this. Thursday, July 19th, mark your calendar for 6 o'clock. The tour of the main plant, the one that's in Industrial Park, lovingly called the sewage plant. Now, I didn't advertise it that way. I didn't do that. And better yet, we're going to have hot dogs. And so get everybody out. We're going to go out there and have that tour. Thursday, July 26th at 6, American Legion Post 88 is opening their meeting for Paul and Richard to go out there and do the PowerPoint presentation, have question and answer session. Thursday, August the 2nd at 6, Curtis Lions Club will host an informational meeting at the Baxter Southern Auditorium at our public library. And those two gentlemen will do that same presentation again. We want to encourage as many people to come as you can. There's so many questions out there, and it's easy because they can answer those questions for you. Friday, August the 3rd, we're going to have a booth down at the Backyard Barbecue. Monday, August the 6th, at 6 o'clock, that will be a city council meeting, but we will be brief, and then we're all going to go out to 3rd Street, and we're going to tour that 3rd Street plant. Signs to the Schutz Sign Shop, we have 6 4x4 signs. 63 signs are out and continuing to be delivered to residents that are requesting them. We're going to do a door-to-door weekend campaign of August the 5th, and I'll be in Jefferson City for a portion of next week, and I've got an appointment with Rob Dixon, just strictly, he's the economic developer for the state. Let's just meet. Let's just keep meeting. Maybe something will come of it. And after the August 7th election, Economic Development Advisory Committee and the Development Planning Team will focus back on the packet that was requested by the mayor for us to compile And this packet will be more or less like requests for information, applications, and where we could go on and submit things. We'll have something in hand ready, so when something comes to us, we've got it. And I want to thank Paul and Terry for helping me. We're trying to find a lot of material that was gathered years ago. This is just one of many that we're trying to locate again. This one in particular belongs to John Ferguson that he's let me borrow. So we're trying to find all those things, and we think a lot of them are back there in the storage room. So we appreciate those guys for helping lighten the load and find information. So that's it.
Thank you, Jana. Is there any business from the floor? Or first of all, is there any new business?
Yes. I would like to bring up the part about the Quilty Vest on the streets down there. They are so bad, and it's been that way forever. And I have asked about this. You can't even go down up whole street to the floor. And then it floods so bad on one side. The water just sets there for weeks at a time. It's got so bad, it's just ridiculous. If you rain down there, you can just sit on one end. It looks really bad.
And what's your name?
Edward Isaac.
Okay, Ms. Isaac. Would you like to address that, Terry?
It's down is one road to be worked on.
Did you hear that, Mr. Isaac?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'd like to bring up one more thing. You told me that I couldn't have no parties down there or nothing because I didn't have a liquor license. And everywhere they having parties, they having them, and don't nobody have a liquor license. You can go out there and rent the American Eagle and have liquor out there all night long. They want nothing to be done. You ain't charging at the door. But you tell me I can't do nothing down there. The chief police.
The chief of police told you you couldn't have it down there without a liquor license?
Yes, well, you had to come up here and pay up 200 and something.
Would you like to address that?
Well, I guess it depends on how you're operating it. If you're operating it as a business and operating it if you're selling the liquor or if you're charging for cover charge for the liquor, then and you're providing liquor, then yes, it's a business. It requires a liquor license. If you're just having a party for your friends and they're having some big liquor on your premises, I mean that's not something that requires a license. But if you have another business that you're operating, is this at your home or at your business? At a business?
I'm talking for the whole town.
For yours. Is yours?
It's for my business.
It's for a business. Okay. Yeah,
I'm just saying, you said if I had a party.
Yeah, if you have a business and then you're serving liquor within the confines of that business, then you do have to have a liquor license.
No, this is what I'm saying. If someone comes rent my building for a party, you tell me that they couldn't have liquor on the premises because I don't have a liquor license. You say I had to come up here and pay $260-something to have a permit to even have a party with liquor.
Let me visit with the chief about what's going on.
Well, now, you can go everywhere else. You can have a party in the shed and have liquor and don't have no permit to have liquor or nothing. And even have kids. This has been going on for a while. Well, everybody that asked me to rent my building, I said, you got to walk to the city and pay $260 because you're going to have liquor on the premises. Well, everybody won't rent my building. Why don't you go out here and rent the Romy Hall? Go rent a shade and throw a party, charge at the door, have teenagers, and have liquor.
So you're renting the business, you're renting the property as the event or event, and the individuals have liquor and serve that to their guests at the party. Is that?
That's what's going on. I was saying that you're not supposed to do that unless you have a liquor license.
If folks who rent it from you are operating it as a business, and yes, they have to have a liquor license. If it's truly a party, then yeah, it's a different story.
Well, this is where anywhere. Why could you rent the American Eagle and throw a party and have liquor? You know what I'm saying? You don't even have to come up here and pay the $260 to have a liquor on the
car.
Because that's what you're telling me. So, but you can go out there and rent it and have a party and have a liquor Don't worry about that.
Yeah, what are you talking about? It should be the same whether it's your building or anybody's building.
Let me visit with the chief and see what his position is.
I was down there for 2 or 3 of them, like, people didn't pass me up. They asked me, said, can we rent your building? Yeah, but you can't have it. Unless you have walked in, paid the city, they $260. And they mother said, well, we ain't gonna rent your building. We're gonna wild here with everybody else's building. They're already shaking. And no apartment.
Is your building open as a business at other times?
Yes, I got liquor license and everything now, but I'm just saying, I had a cafe license the whole time I've been down there. I've always had some type of license.
Yeah.
And
if you're operating in conjunction with a cafe, you have to have a liquor license too, and it may just be, you know, consumption on the ground.
Legion ain't got a liquor license.
What's that?
It's Legion on the fairground. It doesn't have license. And y'all let
them
rent that for $150 to have parties.
Have liquor out there all
the time. They're not operating your business there, though.
It is. You're,
well, that, you're talking about two different things. You're talking about you have a cafe there.
No, we talk about somebody come to rent my building. I have a cafe like that.
Do you stay there and operate your building while they have their parties there?
Yes.
Okay.
I do, but nobody else does.
Well, that's the difference. If you're providing that liquor...
I'm not providing
this.
I'm just saying they rent my building.
It's
like they rent
my
next building.
Let me talk to the chief about what his position is on it.
I just don't understand why I got to get liquor license for them to rent my building. I'll pay the $260 for the permit to have it.
Well, they may not have to, but you may have to have the liquor license if you're
providing
the liquor. If you're providing the liquor and if you're serving.
I'm just saying, I'm on a playing field where everybody has to follow the same rule. That's all I want. I don't care what the rules.
Well, whoever provides the liquor to those other parties in town has to have a liquor license as well. It just depends on who's doing the provision of the liquor.
They got liquor at the commercial center, and don't nobody have no permit to have liquor. And you don't supposed to charge at the door.
They charge at the door and they sell liquor and they drink all the time.
And everybody knows this.
I'll check with the chief and see what his position is on this particular issue. Okay.
You can check back with us or leave your number. You want to leave your phone number?
Yes.
What is that?
573.
575-9605. All right. He's going to check on into that for you, okay?
All right, thank you.
Uh-huh. Anything else on the floor? Okay.
Getting to the water project, a few questions on this. I know you're going to address these by evening, but what exactly is wrong with the 3rd Street plan?
Yeah.
The controls are not working.
Okay.
Several years ago, the control boards were all replaced and everything. I mean, it's been several years because I remember selling paint when they redid the water plant and everything, and that was part of the project, redoing those control boards. Why do they not work now, or what happened to them?
They were hit by lightning.
Okay. Somebody said something about that. Did we not get insurance to cover that damage and have them repaired or anything?
By the time that we realized that there were two problems. The basement had flooded and there was controls that were taken out in the basement. And so the plant was not in operation when it got hit by lightning. And so we weren't aware when it got hit by lightning, when the actual time was, until later on, so we couldn't file a claim on it.
Is the 3rd Street plant really needed?
Absolutely.
Okay, why is it needed?
At one point this winter, when we almost ran out of water, had we had that plant running, we wouldn't have been in such a dire need for...
But why did we almost run out of water?
Because it was 6 degrees outside and everybody was running their water, and the tanks were getting low from the
How many wells do we have operating now?
We have two operating at the industrial plant, and this one is just barely getting by. It's only putting out about 400 gallons a minute.
Let's see here. Getting into phase two, this inflow to source correction, I suppose that has to do with the sewer line running to the wastewater plant. Is it, exactly. we're not have the right flow to it now or something?
That has to do with the sewer mains in the city that are 60 to 70 years old. They're clay pipes that are taking water in just because of their age, the cracks and everything.
I do know when I was young, Ward Avenue was dug up down the center of Ward Avenue from, say, 3rd Street. I know at least from 7th Street. All those deep sewers were replaced back when I was a kid. I remember that. And that was done because of subsidence from the river at the time and everything. They were caving in. In fact, there was large cave-in right there in front of Menard Insurance. You could drive a car or truck down through that hole there. And a lot of that was replaced down the middle of Ward there. I don't know how. I think it went down at least to 7th Street. Might have went farther, but I remember that. Those deep ones were replaced.
That was when the city actually dumped into the river. So that was part of that.
So sewer main repairs, you plan on removing a lot of the main sewers, digging them up and replacing them?
Whatever the INI report finds, that the repair and replacement is going back and correcting those problems that are found during that.
Force main replacement from 3rd and Eastwood to Bell's, Adams, and Stonewall pressurized pipes. So right now, the sewage from those areas, how is it getting to the...
It's at least 3rd and Eastwood in a pressurized 16-inch force main.
Okay.
That is probably thinner than a soda can. And it keeps breaking.
Sewer evaluation, is that where they look at the systems and everything?
They'll go through the manholes and see where the INI is coming in at the manholes and do flow meters in the manholes to see where, when it rains, where they get the most water.
The disinfection, how are we disinfecting now?
We're not. That is a new regulation.
We aren't disinfecting?
On the wastewater, we're not.
That's why do we not disinfect?
Because we've never had to before. That's a new regulation.
Okay, so that's a state regulation?
Yes, sir.
Why doesn't the state kick in money for these municipalities to do that? If that's something that they're going to want you to do, they need to step up and kick some money.
And the state's never been part of it. They put the regulation on us and what we're required to
do. All the other regulatory things we do, they don't have that on the budget.
Sewer plant standby power. We don't have a standby generator.
Half of the wastewater plant is on a standby generator. The new stuff that was put in 2010 is we had to have a different power pole because there wasn't enough power. So that part of it is not on a generator.
So we didn't seem like when the tornado was, there was a effort to have generators for a lot of these. Like the water plant and all that. There's one at the main water plant. There's one right there by the ditch. What does that generator do right there?
That's the lift station that takes it from the force main that you're talking about to your Stonewall, and then it gravities out to that lift station, and that lift station takes it from there to the wastewater plant. It takes everything in town.
Yeah. Stairs, walkway, and hand railing. Was any of that fixed a few years ago in the bond issue that we had a few years ago that we're still paying the $5 bond on out the way?
This is due to more regulations and more things, more testing they have to do. They're having to walk around the concrete tank that's, is it 15 foot in there? 10 foot in there? Yeah. And then walking across the ledge of a wall that wide, and so we're trying to do some safety issues so we don't have any work comp claims.
SCADAs, is that how you pronounce that? What does that actually?
That is a computerized system to tell what's running, what's down. It gives alarms to say this isn't running, that you may be bypassing, you may be dumping stuff you shouldn't dump. It'll tell you when stuff's not running, what it is.
Clean out a variation channel, is that the the ditch that you see out here where when you come into town and you see the pipe discharging the water, is that the aeration?
Where that comes from, where you see the headworks of the plant, mm-hmm. That's actually the aeration channel. That was built in 78. And over the years, this was everything fills up over time.
Sludge application vehicle.
When the process is done, when the treatment process is done, you have what's left is called sludge.
Right.
It goes in the big tanks that require the steps and the lab catwalks, and that has to be identified behind the plant in that field. And it's just a big tractor with balloon tires, injects it into the ground.
We have a tractor out there now. Now, what does that tractor do out there?
That's doing that process now.
Okay. Well, is that out adequate for doing what we need to do?
Why
is it not adequate?
It requires us to go through the field twice, and in times of heavy rain, or very little rain actually, we were not able to get that tractor through the field. We had a very small window to go through.
We'll have a window in August that was planned to plow that because of the gunboat back there.
Why did we buy that tractor to do all that when we did it?
That was a decision made by me.
So how much was that tractor cost?
$250 for the whole setup.
So basically we have a tractor out there that doesn't really do what it's supposed to do.
It's used in the winter to clean streets.
It is got the field through here.
Did we have some? Y'all in the market for a farm tractor?
Well, maybe.
Was the tractor bought for that purpose only, or was it bought? Do we use it for other things?
We use it for other things.
I spend that kind of money for something that don't boot. I don't understand that. Boom truck. What's the boom truck?
It's called a vacuum truck.
This is what happened.
The boom truck is what we're doing now. We don't have a vehicle anymore. Our crane truck went away this year.
Okay. This is one that was a truck that didn't have a horse on the back of it that you use that to go down in the manholes or in the sewer lift station.
We take the motors out of those stations and we're paying $1,500 a piece from Vandermeer Truck in St. Louis. Every time they come to do that.
And a vacuum truck, I assume, sucks the sludge out of clear lines and stuff, which you're paying Vandermeer to come and do that for you now.
On that one, we don't have one. We did a project a couple of years ago on that and flooded the storm drain project the price on that. It's the same machine that we would be able to use it for that. We would be able to clean up manholes, clean storm drains,
hydro excavate. Also has a reel in the front where you can clean the sewers instead of using the trailer.
I've heard of some of those big trucks and other things. Replacing lift stations 12 and 1. What's wrong with the lift station 12 and 1?
It's obsolete. We can't buy parts for it.
For the motor or for the
pump? Pumps and motor.
The pumps and motor? Old water plant. Still the same situation?
It's a can lift station that when the guys have to go in it, it's a confined space. They call them little makers.
Yeah.
It's a safety issue.
It's down now. We got to pull that Wednesday.
Caden Apartments, the lift station there.
Exactly.
Is it old or do you think it's part of it or is it just a dangerous thing?
It's just a dangerous thing.
It's a 1967.
So we have to put it in one table and it was built.
Yeah, I just curious.
You
know, I realize and I agree that for the sales tax is probably the fairest way to get everybody, you know, on board with it. One thing that I don't agree with is the notion that people go out of town to shop and spend their money. The reason that some people go out of town to shop is because simply the items that they want are not here. And that is no fault of theirs. And it doesn't mean that somebody's not for something or whatever, but people do. If you have to go to Lowe's to get something, you've got to go to Dyersburg or Blytheville or whatever. So some of that, you know, is, I mean, you know, I'm not saying I'm for this. I'm not saying I'm against it. To say that it's a small amount of money on a small amount of dollars it is. But go buy a motor vehicle and pay the tax on a motor vehicle. That's when things get hung. But I understand we're lower than most everybody around here. And, you know, this is fair way. I just don't want us to spend a lot of money that we don't have to spend here. Engineers are really great about telling you, you know, you need this and you need that. And they're in the, that's their business, you know. I mean, that's how they make their living. I'm not disputing anything the engineer says, but it costs a lot of money. If the state wants communities to have some of this stuff, then do it. They need to ante up some of this. I mean, you know, don't put the burden on everybody, you know, in a town to do it. And it's easy to write regulations and say you've got to have this, you've got to have that. I want clean water. I want you to be able to flush the toilet. You know, it just disturbs me about this plan over here that we, you know, we let it sit there and not, you know, when a lot of money was spent on it a few years ago, put those control boards in, that was all redone. And then, you know, we didn't get it operating if we needed it. I heard some industry wanted to come here, and the reason they didn't come here is because we couldn't supply them with the water. I don't, what industry was that?
We were not privy to that information. They went to the Port Authority, and that's who told, one of the members told us that. Yeah. So I don't know who they were.
Yeah. It looks like to me if an industry wants to come here, they're interested in Carruthersville. Look, we're going to come here, we're going to employ so many people, we're going to sign a contract, we're going to build here. What, you know, then we say, what do you people need? Spending $8 million before the fact that you don't get anything. I don't know, you know. That's the only thing.
Charles, this may help you, because I was kind of in on that part.
Yeah.
And when John Ferguson happened to get a call, mm-hmm. he never said who it was. Mm-hmm. And he said that they were asking, could you supply, we're looking at Carruthersville, we'd like
to right.
request for information, mm-hmm. could you supply us with 70,000 gallons a day?
Mm-hmm.
And you said, no. Mm-hmm. And as he ended up saying, he said, click.
Well, I mean, you know, obviously they wasn't real serious.
Well,
you know,
but that's
about,
how
you know.
The
little there's a lot of people out there, you know, that are just fishing, you know, and everything. They're not serious. But if we had a serious industry want to come in here, and we sign a contract with them, and sign a contract with them to get them to come here, and they ask, what do you want us to do for you?
This is my plan.
Yeah.
And it's my plan, mm-hmm. and it's the plan I have for Carruthersville. We want to be ready. We do not want to have to get ready.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be ready when there's something knocking on our door. We can say, we can do that.
And the long and short of it is they're not just knocking on our door. They don't come to Carruthersville
right.
alone and say, we want to locate
right.
there. They send this out to multiple cities and multiple areas where they within the territory that they're looking at. And each city responds with whether they're able to do this or not do that. So if we're not able to do it, we get off the list and so the other cities are on the list.
And that's the request for information. That's why we're doing it.
And that's why we're getting this together.
One of the entities that they go through, a consulting firm, is Missouri Partnerships. Mm-hmm. And so that's, the company would go to them and say, this is what I want you to research, and can you supply X amount of workforce, and X amount of water, and so forth. What's your transportation? What, all those questions, and we may never know where that information's going.
And it's not a spur of the moment thing either. By the time you get construction permits and DNR and EPA and all these things, it takes months, if not a year or so to get the ball rolling, you know.
Not gonna happen all at once.
No.
Okay, it's all question asked. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other business from the floor?
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
Quick.
Yeah.
Now, I've missed the past couple of meetings, and so I don't know, but I want to find out if anything was ever done about the mowing discussion. Remember, this has been like, what, several months ago? At Southport entrance to town?
That was back in early spring.
It looks awful.
Yes, it does. Nothing has been done about that.
Was any agreement reached?
No.
Well, y'all, we got to do something.
I think there was a discussion with MoDOT, yes. And they came and visited with us. But they said they only mow it like
two to three times a year. That's going to be about it.
Right.
And then I went for
But I can tell you, and that's not that it helps us, but I was out of town this weekend in Missouri, and almost every overpass looked just like ours, if not worse. So it must be just across the state.
It's a statewide deal. They're just doing it like they're just not doing it.
And the option is for us to pay for it, Mary, and it was going to be $800 a mowing, I think, if I remember correctly. Is that right?
Well, there was some discussion during the discussion about, was it Russ? Anybody would mow but wouldn't pick up trash.
But that was still for $800.
And I'm good at picking up trash. I was very good at it. I'm doing everything I think of. But I'm going to get out there when it's 100 degrees and somebody else is supposed to be doing it.
There was some discussion about possibly seeing if we could get some entities in the community to maybe either take turns mowing it or paying for one mowing a year, if somebody, you know, or if we could get some help and not have the city absorb that cost, because I think the quote was for 7 or 10 mowings, I can't remember. $800 a mowing, and we just didn't feel like at that time we could afford it. But the city could take on that expense when it's supposed to be done by somebody else. I mean, that was the conversation at the time. It hasn't been discussed since then. But I understand where you're coming from.
At least the Roundup. It's cheap. Something really. We need to do something about that.
If we just have someone to contact and say and ask them.
They were going to help out with that.
Who do we contact? Does somebody have the contact information?
Terry, do you have the contact information or that?
Yeah, I do have a contact number. I did see him as I was going to say today up north. They're not actually mowing with the tractor, but they've got the guys out with the weeders that they've done as well in the last couple of
was that the state at Sykeston?
So you think that,
could you find out if they're gonna move south?
Yeah.
Maybe we can find that out, Mary.
Those are the guys that bring from Charleston from the prison, do they?
Is it? I don't know. Is it? Okay.
Can we get out of prison? Tommy, you don't want to throw business out there a little bit? That's true. Good point.
Yeah. Did you have something? Someone else?
It may not have anything to do with the city. It has nothing to do with water sewer, thank God. It does have to do with cell phone numbers with AT&T. Does the city have anything? We're not in a franchise with AT&T cellular, are we? Nothing like that. It's horrible. The bad thing is, and I saw Gene
post.
I don't know,
because
it used to be wonderful. Actually, Kim and I got the first cell phones when it was Southwestern Bell, and then what else did they call it?
Everybody's.
We had the bag phones, the big phone, and stuff like that. So we've been with them all ever since there were cell phones, and it has gotten worse here. And especially people who live on South Ward, I don't know how. There's two telephone poles that I can drive my truck between on the blacktop, and I can get service. It's kind of like being on Green Acres and finding a home. but I didn't know if the city could get a letter and send it to them and say, you know, we've lost service. Is there a tower down, or is there something you can do? Because it would be so bad if it's always been this way. You could say, well, I'm going to change companies. But it used to be great. And so something's happened, you know, and it's not. So I just want to throw that out there. I want the city to have the leverage in saying, hey.
I doubt that, but we can look into it. Yeah.
I don't know who to change.
Yeah.
Richard, my dad's hard of hearing.
Right.
So today I called him on his cell phone. I was on my cell phone, and I was literally screaming at him, and I was so mad. I mean, not screaming because I was mad at him, but. And he still couldn't hear me. So I hung up, and I called him back, and screamed and yelled again, and he hung up on me. So I called him the third time, and I was screaming and yelling, and he hung up on me again. Well, I was mad at him, but then I get in the car, and I called Karen, and Karen can't hear me. And I called her three times, and then I realized that I should have been mad at Daddy, because he wasn't hearing me. So it's frustrating.
I was working with a contractor out on Moreland Drive today, and I could not make a phone call. I was trying to call Rust Riggs, I was trying to call different ones, and finally I had to drive back to the wastewater plant and park between these two poles there by the dog park. So that I could get, that's the only place, I'm gonna mark it on the street on the blacktop. This is like a phone call. Park here without service.
And where was that? Where'd you say that was?
Yeah, I'm gonna mark your poles. You've got to
mark
the park.
I know you weren't here, but would you like to tell what you've been doing?
Oh, well, out here on the South Board, one of the local streets.
Some kin to you?
My father-in-law. Cut a tree down and hit the power line out here in front of Ronnie Sims' house, and the lines are down, the pole's about to fall over, and me and Charlie and Richard, we were all out there, got ready to go down Pine to playground, back around to Industrial to go, because scared the pole might snap and lines across the road. But what I'm here about is Mr. Eisen was here. Can someone tell me what he was here about? Not me.
Well, you and Lawrence are going to have a talk.
No, you can sit right here, because I haven't talked to Mr. Eisen about anything.
He had issues about the liquor license, him being required to have it. There being a requirement for a liquor license at his establishment, or when he rents his establishment for private parties. So it's probably something you and I need to talk about. No, see what
I was going to say. I have, if he said he talked to me, I haven't talked to him in I don't know how long, so it's trying to pay the story.
Okay. When are we going to get our car?
My name is
the power should be back on within the next probably 2-3 hours. Maybe. They had a crew coming out of Portageville, a crew coming out of Gideon to cut the tree. And a crew coming out of Portageville to redo the pole and the mine.
Charlie had a, you tell me about it, you had a sound.
No, I had a message now on Nexel that if anybody needed to come to the building center, we opened up a meeting room and a conversation door.
Because we had several people down on South Ward that were on oxygen.
Oh, wow.
And, so.
And I will say something else about water sewer. Since this happened, the wastewater plant is not running because we only have half of the generator.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Part of the thing we need. So only thank goodness my building has the air conditioner running in. But the actual the new part that was put in, like Paul said, 8 or 10 years ago, is not running. So in other words, the plant is not functioning. It can't function without those parts that are on the 480 system. So
the generator
I go out there after a while and see what things look like.
The one generator did kick on.
Yeah, the generator always kicks on the 240 side. It only operates half the plant. And then the generator at the South Ward lift station, which is the main lift station, it's running too. It always kicks on.
So what are you saying? We should flush our toilets now?
Oh, no, you're fine. You're fine.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
It's going on now. It's just not being treated like it ought to.
Yeah. Do we have anything else?
I got one question.
You got one?
Okay. Do you get this every month too? This gaming?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you going to start putting it in our package then? Mm-hmm. Thank you.
There's nothing else to have a motion to adjourn?
I'll move. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Mm-hmm.